Produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George, Health First is available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
We've been talking to author Brian Siegel, the author of the original self-help book, Life Lessons from Genesis. So a lot of these lessons really are kindnesses that we can impart to the rest of our people on this planet. They're not like commandments.
Yeah, well, you know, they're suggestions, messages, they're things we should do, again, by being kind to others and treating other people respectfully. Usually that redounds to our benefit and, of course, avoids arguments and people disliking us and so forth. If I could just say that the book is on Amazon if anyone would like to get more information about it. You know, one can read a little bit about it and then see if they think it's something they want to purchase or not.
Okay. What other topics are covered in the original self-help book?
Another one, this is significant, that a parent's actions often mold their child's behavior. You know, most people, and thank God I have two very nice sons, but many of us don't realize how what we say or do really sends a message to our children. And one example, this was told to me by a friend of mine who's a lawyer at a big law firm. He one time took his son to see a movie, and it was, you know, like a matinee kind of thing, and there was a sign on the movie where the person one bought tickets that children under 11 are one price and over 11 is another price. You know, from 11 on is the adult price and under is a child's price. And so he noticed that nobody was, in the ticket booth was not requiring anyone, requiring any proof or anything like that. And people were saying, you know, my child is under 11, when they certainly looked older. So for a moment, that was an idea that he had. But then he thought, just as he was getting to the ticket booth, he thought, gee, what kind of message am I going to be sending my son? I've stressed time and time again to be honest in everything you do. And if I tell him be quiet and just say, you know, he's a youth, he's under 11, this my son's going to think, gee, apparently it's okay to lie to save a little money. And that would be exactly the wrong message that he wanted to give his son. So as I say in the book, when he got to the booth, he proudly said, two adults. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. To really send a message to his son that, you know, this is one shouldn't cut corners to save a little money. And, you know, again, even if either parent is disrespectful to the other and the children view that, the children see it, that impacts on them. They might not talk about it immediately, but it is something they see and, you know, and recognize. And, you know, there's lots of proof. By the way, there's lots of studies that children do emulate to some extent their parents' behavior, whether it's, you know, being an alcoholic or, you know, verbally abusive or anything like that. The children pick that up and, unfortunately, sometimes think that's the way to act. And, of course, it isn't.
Mm-hmm.
So those are, you know, those are other things. You know, the another principle is don't steal anything. Now, everyone knows, you know, if you grab someone's pocketbook or something like that or someone's wallet, that's not proper. But stealing goes to a lot of things, and it also goes to situations where we're putting ourselves liable for stealing. So I'll give you an example.
Okay.
Is certainly in California, there are lots of malls, and they say parking is restricted to people using one of the stores in the mall. okay? Mm-hmm. And let's say someone, you know, is in a bit of a rush, sees an open space in the mall, isn't using any item there, doesn't plan to go to any store there, but parks his car and is able to move away and, you know, go to where he has to go. Well, he probably, you know, isn't thinking about this, but he may be costing one of those owners a sale.
Mm-hmm.
If someone, you know, can't park, very often they'll just go somewhere else. And so they're basically, whether they've realized it or not, have stolen from these proprietors that have paid to have those parking spaces there.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of, context that people don't realize. Another situation that is very heavily talked about is taking someone's ideas and not crediting with them.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone has an idea, someone else hears about it and they espouse that idea, they should say, you know, so-and-so mentioned this, and I thought it was a very good idea, and then articulated what was said. But again, in effect, the stealing, the context of stealing in the biblical sense, goes well beyond, physically taking someone, taking something from someone. It goes to, you know, any aspect of that. And, you know, it's pretty broad. A lot of people don't realize that.
And our children see who we are. We're teaching them by every action that we do.
Principles that I'm describing to you and giving you examples about, they're all based upon events and conversations in Genesis that are augmented by the oral tradition. That one might not realize just viewing the text. For example, the first thing we spoke about, not embarrassing others publicly. Well, probably people that are familiar with the Bible know that Jacob worked very hard, worked for 7 years to get Rachel's hand in marriage. And on the wedding night, her father switched brides, which was possible then because people were wearing a veil and it was at night. He switched brides on Jacob, and he was known to be a charlatan. You know what I mean? But what happened? Rachel and Jacob recognized he was this chicanery, type of chicanery might happen. So what did they do? They had particular signs, and if she didn't give Jacob those signs, he literally would leave the altar. He would walk away. However, and this is not on the text of Genesis, however, Rachel saw her father dressing up her older sister Leah to be Jacob's bride, and she could have just thought to herself, you know, take your best shot. we were aware that you might try something like this, and all you have to do is try it, and Jacob will walk away. However, Rachel thought, no, I really can't do this. This will be devastating to my sister, to, you know, literally being left at the altar.
Right.
So she gave her sister Leah those signs. And that's why the wedding was able to be pulled off. Because, again, Jacob thought he was marrying Rachel, who he'd worked 7 years for. However, then when he found out, it was interesting, when he found out, he didn't wasn't angry with Rachel. He probably understood that, she felt she had to do this. Maybe he even thought more of her for not letting her sister be embarrassed like that.
Mm-hmm.
And worked another 7 years, although they were married in a week, for Rachel's hand. So basically, the father-in-law got him to work 14 years for two wives, one of which he, you know, was not the primary one, but he always treated both of them very well and very fairly. So anyway, again, there are all these aspects come from the Genesis, but they're augmented by the oral tradition, which most people don't know about or aren't familiar with, and then how they apply to today is very important too.
That's amazing, because this information is over 3,000 years old.
Right, actually, it's more than 3,300 years old. It is. And again, the Creator didn't put us here and then say good luck. He wants people to be happy. The Creator wants people to live healthy lives, happy lives, elevated lives, refined lives. This takes a lot of work. So these messages are in there. They're known by many, many people. I think one of the unique things that I've done is as you mentioned, I was a writer. I wrote a number of books for study manuals for law students based on my experiences at Columbia Law School, and which sold very well, thank God, for over 30 years. Now they've gone to a
Brian,
digital...
Brian, would you consider yourself a Bible student now?
I still am a legal recruiter, but I took the time to before that I was a bar review lecturer, and in my off time I began to do a lot of reading, saw all these things, and just felt, I was very impressed by it. And I was profoundly influenced by it. So, gee, people, would probably like to know about these things. And, that was the genesis, if you will, of the book.
Okay. Well, Brian, we thank you for writing this book and making the Old Testament a little easier to understand and how applicable it is to our lives today. Can you just tell everybody where they can get that book again? Because we're just about out of time.
Okay, the book is on Amazon, the original self-help book, Life Lessons from Genesis. And again, you can also find it through my name, Brian, B-R-I-A-N, Siegel, S-I-E-G-E-L. And I very much appreciate you having me on and giving me the opportunity to expound about these things.
Thanks so much, Brian, and thanks for the book. We're just going to go to a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to be speaking to Jeff Haven.